stand up. She knows what it's like to be popular, to be that popular person in school. Maybe you had it. Maybe it happened in your world perhaps for 5 minutes somewhere along the line because you had a great chocolate bar or something like that. But that experience of being popular. Well, I want to tell you, you won't believe this. You might even find it surprising. But I've been a very popular person in my earlier life. I know you find that hard to believe now, but I have been a very popular person. People would wait for me to turn up, and when I got there, they'd say, "Oh, thank God you're here. We're just so pleased you are here, Dave." And, it was great for my self-esteem. It was really a fantastic thing while I was in that season of being Mr. Popular, turning up and people waiting for me with bated breath. And when you get there, they just, oh, the whole world turns up. Dave's here. This is absolutely fantastic. Anybody relate to that? Is anybody with me there? I'm on my own, right, okay. Well, the reality was that the people that were waiting for me, they wanted something from me. They were generally in some sort of problem or in some sort of situation where they felt like I could be their solution. And before I do what I do now, I was in the automotive industry, and very often we would turn up somewhere and a car or a truck had broken down or a machine in a very precarious situation. I remember one Friday afternoon, and if you're familiar with Risdon Road, it gets very busy at about 3, 4, or 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And what had happened is a big semi-trailer had come out of the supermarket there and had got onto the road, and it had stopped in the middle of the road, and it was blocking traffic from either direction, and it wouldn't go. And they called Mr. Popular, Mr. Dave. Come, and I remember getting there. Thank God you're here. And we mucked around, and eventually we fixed it. So we managed to move the truck. We managed to get the situation under control. And in the popularity stakes for those few minutes, I went up again. I was very popular. But the reality is, I was popular because people wanted something from me. People believed that I had something that could be their solution. And have you ever thought about it, that people go through all sorts of things in life? You have all sorts of problems, and you're looking for a solution. If your body doesn't function properly, perhaps you go to the doctor. Now, you don't go to the doctor just to have a talk. Well, some people do, don't they, Rebecca? But you go to the doctor because you're looking for a solution. I mean, if you're a bloke, perhaps you ignore it and you think it'll go away and you'll deal with it at some later date, which they tell us isn't a good idea. But if there's something wrong, you seek out a solution. You look for a solution. Have you ever been in a real spot where Sam referred to it this morning, and I love what he said, where you're in a spot. And Sam was saying, you're in a spot where you cannot see the solution. You cannot see the way through. You cannot see the way out of that. And perhaps you've been in a situation like that, and somebody has come through. Maybe it's been a family member. Maybe it's been some anonymous person. Maybe you've been bushwalking, and you've got yourself really, really lost. I remember as a kid walking up the walls of Jerusalem. And I remember that feeling just for a moment when I thought I was seriously lost. We were going up the track, and as you do, I had to go off the track to attend to some business. And I remember I went around behind this great big rock. It looked like an ideal thing for what needed to happen. And so I was about 11. And I went around there, and I dealt with the situation. And I remember coming walking back. And the track had completely disappeared. Somebody had taken the track away. And I must have started walking off a little bit. And I had this feeling of being lost. And I think because I knew everybody wasn't that far away, I yelled out and then nobody answered. And I yelled out again and nobody answered. And then eventually I yelled out and someone said, "Yeah, over here." And I remember as the tension was starting to raise just a little bit in my body. But I remember as I heard somebody, as they came up with a solution, I remember just that feeling of, wow, we I'm back on track. I know where I'm going. I have got an answer to the problem. And you may have felt that in all sorts of different situations. Maybe you've been through a health situation and you've wondered what was going to happen, and somehow you've found an answer. Maybe God's come through in a miraculous way. Maybe you've found the right doctor who's been able to find what is going on. And when you find that solution, there is something amazing about having a solution. John Maxwell, who's a leadership guru, in other words, he writes books, and people that are into leadership read his books because he's got great things to say about leadership. And one of the things he says is that leaders are problem solvers. If you want to get credibility with the people that you lead, it's all very well to say, oh, I'm the leader, come on, follow me. And after a while, that only works for a little while, because people actually want to see that the substance behind what you're saying, the substance behind where you're going, there's credibility about what you're doing. And all of us have problems. All of us need solutions. And he says leaders are problem solvers. Leaders are people that actually find a solution to the problems that people are going through. A solution is an amazing thing, isn't it? A solution is an amazing thing. When you've been in that place and you're stuck and you're thinking, how are we going to get through this? When you come up with that solution, it's just an incredible feeling. It's an incredible feeling of relief, an incredible feeling of, yeah, we're back on track. We didn't think we could get through this, but we could. Why don't we open our Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Did you know, I was blessed yesterday. I went out yesterday morning very early for a bike ride, and thanks, Nat. So that was great fun, and we're riding, and it's a beautiful morning in Hobart. There's snow on the mountain. It was very, very cold. And we're about to go for a ride, and we met at Cornelian Bay, and my good friend Bob and some other people turned up, and we're about to go off on this ride, and Bob says, "Where's your gloves, Dave? Have you got any gloves?" No, I haven't got any gloves. You know, I'm hardcore. You know, I don't need gloves." Anyway, he said, "I've got some gloves in my car. I'll give you my gloves." So that's cool. I put the gloves on. And out we go, and we rode out to Granton, and we're going across the Bridgewater Bridge. And there is a railway line that goes across the Bridgewater Bridge. And if you know anything about riding, particularly road bikes, they have got very, very skinny tires, and they can get very slippery on railway lines. So I was aware of that, and I'm watching this railway line and think, yep, I get the right angle and I'll go across it. And it was a bit drizzly and wet. And all of a sudden, the front wheel hit the railway line and it went straight down, and it went straight in between the gap of the railway line and the thing. And the next thing, I hit the road quite hard. Like I was going sort of fast enough, and I skidded down the road, and I felt my head hit the road, and I thought, that's the first time I've ever experienced the saving grace of a helmet. And there was a big crack in my helmet where my head hit the road, and the only thing that would have got seriously damaged, I put a hole in my knee. The only thing that would have got really, really badly ripped apart, I reckon, was my little finger. This little finger, it's still bruised, it's a little sore, but Bob came through. Bob said, "You wear these gloves," and all of a sudden, I am really blessed, because it could have been a whole lot worse, but it was just fantastic. Now, that hasn't got a lot to do with my message. I just thought you need to know. But what I do want to say is as we read this little segment here, I think that we've actually got to take into account that we have actually got a God who is much more interested in your life than you think. We've got a God who is actually not only interested in doing the big, grand things. We're going to talk about some of those bigger, grander things this morning. But you know, we've got a God who is interested in what you're going through right now. He's interested in looking after you on something as silly as falling off your bike. He actually wants to be with you all the way through. And listen to the way that he deals with the situation here. In Acts 3, 1-11, it says this. It says, "Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock service. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful, so he could beg from the people going to the temple. Listen to this. When Peter and John were about to enter, he asked them for money. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter and John said, I don't have any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly strengthened. He jumped and stood to his feet and began to walk. Then walking and leaping, he went into the temple with them, praising God. All the people saw him and heard him praising God. When they realized he was a lame beggar and that he had so often been at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed over in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was standing, holding tightly to Peter and John. An amazing situation. You've got this guy, he's sitting there, he has got a problem, and he's after a solution. He's got a serious problem, and he wants a solution. The thing is, he's got a couple of problems. My voice is going a little bit like a teenage boy this morning. He's got a couple of problems. Have you ever watched that movie where that guy starts off old and he goes backwards. Yeah, it goes back the other way. That maybe that's happening to me. Maybe I'm getting younger. That'd be good, wouldn't it? The fountain of youth. This guy's got a problem. He wasn't getting any younger either. But interestingly enough, he has a couple of problems. The big problem, everybody could see, the big problem was that he couldn't walk. The big problem was that he needed to be carried to the temple every single day, and somebody else had to take him to the temple and sit him at the temple gate so that he could beg. But he wasn't interested in addressing his big problem. Those days, if you couldn't walk, you couldn't work. You know, they didn't have workplace health and safety. They didn't have special programs to get people into work when they were dealing with disabilities, like some of the great things that we have today. They didn't have any of those things. If you could not walk or if you had a disability, you were seriously, seriously, seriously up against it. You had no feasible way of making an income. You just had to hope that you were born in a rich family so that they could support you and look after you. If that was not the case, you were really up against it. So what was his immediate problem? His immediate problem was that, like the rest of us, he needed to eat. So that every day somebody would take him to the temple gate and he would sit at the temple gate and he would beg. He would beg for money so that he could eat. That was his problem. He was looking for a solution to that problem. He had this life-controlling problem. He couldn't walk. But he had even more an immediate problem that if he didn't eat, like the rest of us, he was going to get hungry. And if that went on for too long, he wouldn't be around any longer. So he was addressing the immediate problem. He looks at Peter and John as they come up to the temple and he looks at them. And he's looking for a solution. Have you ever had somebody look at you and they're looking for a solution and they're wanting you to give them something? And sometimes you can feel like, I just wish I could do something here and I haven't got what I need. I remember a few years ago, the first time I went to Kathmandu, and there were a group of us there. We had the whole church board there, and I remember one of the board members particularly, it was his first time in a country like that. It was his first time out of a Western country, and he was so confronted. I remember a local guy took us, and he took us right into the heart of Kathmandu. And it's a fabulous, fabulous city. It's got a vibe about it. It's got great people. It's a wonderful place, but the poverty absolutely hits you in the face. The poverty is there everywhere. And wherever we went, we found that there were people that were following us and they were begging and they were wanting us to do something about them. And this particular guy was so moved as he looked at everybody and he wanted to give money to everybody. And he could have gone to the ATM. He could have cashed in all his Australian dollars. He could have done the whole lot and he could have started handing them out dollar after dollar after dollar after dollar. It would not have taken very long. He might have been able to be there for the morning before he got rid of all his money. But would he have changed the situation in a large-scale way? No. He would have dealt with somebody's immediate problem, That is incredibly important. If somebody needs to eat, that's an immediate problem. But he would not have been able to change the whole problem. He would not have been able to find a solution to the bigger problem that was going on. The thing about Peter here is he doesn't deal with the immediate problem. Peter doesn't deal with the thing that was so in your face. And sometimes the problems that are most confronting are the immediate. They're the things that are in your face. They're the things that actually need to be dealt with. But I want to encourage us. I want us to start to think a little bit like Peter was thinking on that day. You see, he could have given the guy a crutch. He could have maybe, I guess they didn't have wheelchairs then, but he could have come up with something that enabled this guy to get around a bit better. He could have gathered all his mates together and he could have come up with some money to help him through the next couple of weeks. He could have done all sorts of things. He actually could have even started a crutcher factory so that they could give crutches out and help people to walk. As good as all those things were, it would not have dealt with the guy's overriding problem in that he couldn't walk and he couldn't function like a normal person. What I want to encourage us to do is to do what Peter did. Peter saw the problem. He looked at the guy and he was moved. Do not allow this world to make you hard. Do not allow this world that every time you turn on the TV and you see a natural disaster, you see a situation that doesn't make sense, you see injustice, you see those things, don't allow your heart to be hard. Don't think it's just another disaster. Those things are all lives of people. They are all real circumstances. They are all absolutely immediate and often life-controlling problems. We've got to make sure that our hearts don't become hard. First of all, Peter's heart was soft. And he saw the guy's situation and it was moved. The second thing is that he didn't run off and look for the immediate problem. He found a God solution to a human problem. He found a God solution to a human problem. You see, you know what I think we've often got very, very, very good at in the church? And I think that perhaps we needed to change a bit, that we've actually got good at finding solutions to problems and all sorts of things. And often we can turn up and say, I'm Dave here. I'm from Energizer Church and we've just started this crutcher ministry and we're going to give you crutches in Jesus' name. And that wouldn't, you could do a lot worse than that. You could do a lot worse than that. But is it what we're supposed to be doing? Maybe it is. Maybe if God speaks to you, it is. But I want to encourage you that the thing that we've got to do is we've got to find God solutions to human problems. You see, Peter had been with Jesus. Peter had walked the journey with Jesus. He'd been in his presence. He understood what it was to hear the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see or hear my Father doing. He knew what it was like to be in relationship with the Father. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you will do more than I will do. You know, what you've seen me do, you guys are going to do more. Peter had been in that situation. He's the guy that had walked on the water, lost his faith and fell in. He's the guy that said to Jesus, I'll never deny you, Jesus. I'll be there to the bitter end. I will never let you go. I will be there. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, just before you open your mouth, just start to think, do you reckon you can live up to what you're saying? And he goes through this incredible situation. He's restored, but he finds himself on the other side of the cross. He finds himself on the other side of the cross. He finds himself after Jesus had died and made this amazing sacrifice for humanity, and Peter finds himself on the other side of that. He finds himself in relationship with the Father. He finds himself being able to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. He finds himself believing what Jesus said, that he could do more than what Jesus said. And he allowed the Holy Spirit to speak into that situation, and he suddenly comes up with a God perspective on a human problem. Rather than just handing out something, he gives the guy a God perspective on a human problem. He reaches out to the guy. He says, get up and walk, and that guy's life would have changed forever. Why don't we just watch the screens for a minute? Miracle offering is not just about raising money, but about building the kingdom of God locally and globally and bringing God's solutions to human problems. At Energizer Life Church, we're committed to growing people, building the kingdom through the local church and planting churches. When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, his response was, love the Lord your God with everything you've got and love people as much as you love yourself. People are important. The kingdom of God is all about people. We're committed to growing people to see a strong and vibrant emerging generation. People are our future. We're passionate about growing people in our church and across our community. And as a church, we have some brilliant opportunities to get involved and continue to make a difference. We're so encouraged about what's been happening in the Derwent Valley among young people. But there is so much more that can be done and will be done. Through the Derwent Valley Youth Centre, we can reach and grow the future of this region. We can't afford the future and potential and inspiration of youth to be wasted by addictions and life-controlling issues. Live Free Tassie helps young people live free and successful from life-controlling problems through empowering young people to make positive lifestyle choices and maximise their potential and destiny. Let's continue to support our champion friends, Bob and Naomi, and the Live Free Tassie team. It's a huge privilege to be able to respond in a practical way when people are in a tight spot through food parcels. LifeLink's food parcels allows us to meet a very practical need in our community. As a church, we've enjoyed a great connection and relationship with Clarence High School through the Shine program. Shine allows us to sow dignity, hope and self-belief into young women. School chaplains are being the hands and feet of Jesus to young people right across our nation. Through our miracle offering, we continue to support chaplaincy through Clarence High School and across the Greater Hobart area. Matt and the Youth Alive team are doing a great job reaching out to young people of our state and seeing real change take place in their lives. We continue to support the vision and mission of Youth Alive Tasmania. Further to this, as a church, we have a fantastic history of child sponsorship and connection to the Bahadur region in Ethiopia. We continue this heritage through growing our participation in child sponsorship, as well as through a great partnership with the Mezareti Christos Church in the Bahadur region. Jesus had no plan B for humanity. The local church is his only plan. Strong and effective local churches transform communities. We believe the kingdom of God can advance across our state through local churches. Confident and effective local churches will influence local communities. Church Together encourages and inspires local churches right across southern Tasmania. The Impact Conference aims to encourage and equip pastors and leaders, and in fact anyone who has a heart for the local church. We're a church planting church. Whether that's planting a church locally like we have recently in the Derwent Valley, or planting churches globally amongst the disadvantaged people of Nepal, India and Ethiopia. Through local churches that are planted, people are saved and set free, not only to live a fulfilled life, but to reach others. Planting churches makes an eternal difference. Today we have the opportunity to be part of a miracle and bring God's solutions to human problems.
I am going to ask you to do more than just think about things this morning. I'm going to ask you to give. But our miracle offering, honestly, is not just about money. My heart this year, as we've thought about it, as we've prayed about it, as we've believed for Miracle Sunday, it honestly is about finding God's solutions to human problems. There are so many things that we could be involved in. Every single week, it's interesting, if you're in business, you would find the same thing, that there are always
lots and lots and lots of opportunities. Every single week in this church, we get letters from this ministry or that ministry of people wanting support, of people wanting to engage with us, people wanting to partner with us. And many, many, many of those things are absolutely fantastic things. And just like reaching out to beggars in Nepal or wherever it is, we realize that we can't actually do everything. But what we do believe is that as a board, as a ministry team, as a leadership group, that we've carefully prayed about, we've carefully been able to seek God about the things that we can do, not only here in this church, but the influence that we can have beyond the walls of this church, the influence that we can have out there. And we have thought hard, we've prayed about that, and we believe in these things that we're involved in that it's not just about money. Of course, money is a resource. Money enables things to happen. But if all you're doing is giving money, I think we're missing the point that we have the opportunity to bring God's solutions to human problems. We have the opportunity, like Peter, when he walked into that situation that he could have. It would have been the easiest thing for him to do would have been to reach into his wallet and get something out. Like my wallet this morning has got very little in it. But I've just found that it's got $5 in it. It's got my cards and all the things that we use these days. But I've got $5 in it. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I'm sure that he could have gone and found the equivalent of $5. I'm sure that he could have somehow come up with that. Yes, he wasn't rich in a material sense, but he had a network of friends. He had people around him. He could have come up with $5. He could have put $5 in that guy's hands, and that would have get that guy a meal for a day. If I was to go out here now and meet somebody hungry, I could put $5 in their hand, they could go down to Macca's and they could get a burger and they would feel all right for 10 minutes until that went out and they had to feel like they need to go to Macca's and get another one, because that's the way it works. But that would work just for a little while. But as a church, we talk a lot about church planting, we talk a lot about people, because we believe that we want to find God's solutions to human problems. We want to be involved in the things that are the God solution, not the things that are just going to make a little bit of difference for the here and now, but we want to partner with things that are going to make a difference for eternity. You see, church planting, it makes an eternal difference. Church planting actually gives people the opportunity to find Jesus and be set free, and their whole situation can change. Why are we involved in something like church planting in Nepal? I can tell you why my heart moved when I was in Nepal. When I went to Nepal, I had been to third world countries a number of times. I'd already been to Africa, I'd been to Ethiopia, I'd seen things that have broken my heart. I've cried at the plight of people. But you tell you what moved me the most when I was in Nepal is after we'd been there the first time for about 10 days. And you start to get used to the place. And I remember as we're driving through Kathmandu, there is a massive, massive rubbish dump right in the middle of the city. Actually, I didn't see it last time. They might have changed things a bit. But there was this huge rubbish dump there. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, people are poor, but this could be moved. If somebody decided that this wanted to be cleaned up and they could actually change the heart of the city, they could change that place. And after a while, I asked someone, I said, why doesn't somebody decide that they're going to move that rubbish tip? Sure, they mightn't have some of the resources we've got, but there are trucks here, there are plenty of people, they could move it. And they said to me, "Dave, you don't quite understand, you don't get it. You see, that rubbish dump is there because people live on that rubbish dump. That rubbish dump is there because that is their lot in life. They are born to live on a rubbish dump. They are born to fossick for food in that place. Their only hope of getting off that rubbish dump or that part of life is to do the best they can in that life and come back in a better situation in the next life." You see, that is not a God solution to a human problem. That totally is not a God solution to a human problem. That is actually, that comes from somewhere else. That is not the sort of thing that we're talking about. My heart moved because I knew that when local churches actually go into communities, whether it is here in the Derwent Valley, whether it is here in Hobart, whether it's in Glenorchy, whether it's in Rokeby, whether it's in Ethiopia, wherever it is, that a local church can change the heart and the fabric of a community because it actually sets people free. You see, when people on that rubbish dump find Jesus, they realize that they don't have to live in that situation anymore. That their immediate situation mightn't change, but I can guarantee their outlook on life will change because they've been saved, they've been set free, they start to value themselves, they realize that they're there to make a difference, and their whole life will change and a community will start to change. That is an extreme situation perhaps, but we've got people right here in Hobart, we've got people in southern Tasmania that perhaps live with the same outlook on life. We've got people that have perhaps been unemployed for four generations and they don't think that there is any way through that because they think that is just how it is. You see, a God solution is that it changes the way that you think. See, the New Testament, I love the Bible. I love the Old Testament and I love the New Testament. And the thing that is exciting about the New Testament is that Paul talks about the fact that we are changed. We are transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. In other words, we take on a whole new mindset. We take on this thinking of the kingdom and people's lives start to change. They start to see a bigger world. They start to see things that are incredibly different and everything starts to change. Let's be looking for God's solutions to human problems. There's so much we can do, but this morning I want to just draw your attention and I want you to allow your hearts to be moved. I want your intellect to be moved. I want you to say, I can be part of a miracle. I can be part of a God solution to a human problem. I love the fact, and we had it there on the video, that when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? And you know, you've been asked questions like that from time to time, where you are put on the spot and somebody's drawing it out of you, and they want the million-dollar answer from you. They want the answer that is the big answer. And sometimes you're tempted to make up something really smart on those occasions. And Jesus comes up with the truth. And he says, well, you know it. You've read it in the Bible. It's love the Lord your God with everything you have and then love others as much as yourself. You see, loving others is actually part of finding a God solution to a human problem. And that's what we're called to do. So I'm just going to look at some of the things here. Pete, if you come with me on the screen. So the Derwent Valley Youth Centre, we've got a vision to see $10,000 sewn into the Derwent Valley Youth Centre. And this is totally a vision. And that's not actually to put buildings up or anything like that. We actually want to put that into being able to staff people to be part of that. Live Free Tassie, we want to sow $10,000 to Live Free Tassie to just enable what is happening. After that ride I was talking to you about yesterday, I had coffee with Bob and we sat there in the freezing cold at Cornelian Bay and shared a cup of coffee and Bob's just bubbling over with opportunities and the things that we can see happen and the way that we can partner together as a church, the way that we can see things happen across the community. You see the $10,000 is $10,000. Yes, it'll make a difference, but the partnership and the belief and the finding a God solution to a human problem is what changes lives. The $10,000 might be what God's asking you to do. That might be your part of that, but ultimately it's about a partnership. It's about us finding a God solution to those problems. Life Links, it's just fantastic to be able to sow in and give people help when they need it. Shine, I'm just so excited about what I hear from Shine. I'm lucky enough to be on a local chaplaincy committee with the principal, Marcel, from Clarence High, and she just raves about Shine. She just raves about the difference that it makes to young girls, girls that are actually are hand-picked to be part of that program and the change. And Alex has been along there sowing into the girls, and Mel and Jenna Lee and others that have been there and been able to make a difference. And so let's continue to believe in that. Chaplaincy, I love chaplaincy. I love the difference it's making right across this country in all sorts of ways, particularly in schools. And we've got the opportunity to be involved at a local level here with the chaplains in this area. Child sponsorship. There's a few things I've done that have significantly changed my life. And I think sponsoring a child has changed my life.
It has given me the opportunity, and not everybody gets this. I praise God that I've had this. But it's given me the opportunity to actually go and meet a child in just an incredible situation, and just to see, once again, not just the money, but a God solution to a human problem. A God solution, because we sponsor children. We encourage sponsorship through Compassion, which works through a local church. And we're not just sowing money into these kids. We're actually bringing Jesus right into their house, right into their street, right into where they are. And we've got an opportunity to continue to build that in the Bahadur area. And it'll basically cost you about $500 a year to sponsor a child. But let's continue to do that. You don't have to make that decision this morning, but that's something I want you to prayerfully consider. It's something that I believe that we can be involved in. Something that was really exciting last year, and we're looking forward to it again this year, is continuing to see the Early Childhood Survival Program happen in Bahadur in Ethiopia, and that's going to happen through our partners, Meseretti Christus Church. And last year we were able to sow $32,500 into that with our partnership with the Compassion Ball. So I realised that that was an incredible opportunity because of that partnership. We're believing for that to happen again. So just once again, that is a God solution to a human problem, where babies that would not have made it past 2 or 3 years old, because somebody goes out on a limb, somebody says, if it wasn't for me, would that child survive? And they're able to see a God solution to a human problem in those situations. So let's continue to believe for that. And we're building a vision. We're building vision in the local church. Church together, drawing churches together across here, $5,000. Impact Conference, $10,000. Just to be able to say that we believe in local churches. We believe in it across the globe, but we believe in it here in a local community. And of course, we're planting a church in the Derwent Valley, and that is going from strength to strength. But the next stage there is to be able to open that building up there. We've got a building up there, and we've got the ability to be able to expand that youth centre and be able to perhaps meet in there as a church. All sorts of things that can happen, all sorts of opportunities that can go on up there. And we're believing for a vision there for $20,000 to be sown into that. PCE in Ethiopia, you can actually see a new church started for $3,500. Isn't that amazing? I know what we've spent already to put a new church in the Derwent Valley, and quite honestly, we've done it quite cheaply, but you wouldn't do it for $3,500. There is no way you would do it for $3,500. But because of the economies of scale, because we are blessed, for $3,500, we can see churches planted amongst the poorest of the poor in Ethiopia through Pastor Fikiri and PCE, who are just doing a fantastic job over there. And of course, I've already talked about Nepal and India, the fact that we're sponsoring 20 church planting pastors who are just making an incredible difference in Nepal, and I've got 4 in India too, so that is absolutely fantastic. So our total vision, it's not about the big numbers, but some of us are perhaps wired a little bit more that way, and we need to know what we've got faith for. We need to know what we're believing for. We need to know that that we've actually set a goal. We've set a target that is going to stretch us. You see, the easiest thing for us to do as a leadership would be to come and present a vision that was really, really, really easy to reach. A vision that was sort of like, oh yeah, if I just put in, you know, another $2 a week or something, and we all do that, and we'll reach that vision, no worries, and we can celebrate that. But I believe that, you know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I believe God wants us to apply that to every area of our life, whether that's your relationships, whether that's your generosity to people, whether that's the time that you take to do things, or whether that's your finances, or whether that is actually you just having the faith to step into a bigger world. The faith to actually believe for a bigger world. And as a church, we so believe that we need to be actually living in that faith realm. We need to be living in that faith zone. We haven't got any other opportunity, I believe. God has asked us to be people that live by faith. And so this morning, as you step into that faith realm,
I'm not asking you to do anything that you don't have faith for. You know, if you're on, you know, maybe you sometimes we can actually run away with ourselves. Maybe you're earning $35,000 a year. And you know, you hear stories, you read a book about somebody that has given enormous amounts of money, and you think, wouldn't that be fantastic? I'm going to write on my form this morning, I know no one here would do this, but I'm just being hypothetical. And you think, well, wouldn't it be great? I would write on my form that this year I am going to give $150,000, and I'm believing God for that. Well, I would say that you would have to know that you know that you know before you step into that sort of place. But what is it? What is it that God is actually asking you to do this morning? What is it? How far is God asking you to be stretched this morning? What is He going to do? When Alex and I fill our form in, there are things that we could do easy, but we know that we're going to be stretched. I'm not going to be writing $100,000 on that form because I don't have the faith to give that this year. But I will be writing a figure on there that I believe will stretch me, and it will be something that I need to step into a faith zone to see that happen. You know, once again, let's be people that are looking for God's solutions to human problems. And maybe that is in your finances. You think, well, how am I going to get through this? Why don't you look for the God solution to the situation that is going on there at the moment? See, our miracle giving isn't about a few doing a lot, but it's about a lot of us doing what we can. It's about a lot of us moving into a faith zone. It's about a lot of us seeking God. It's about a lot of us deciding that we're going to get involved and we're going to be part of that God solution to a human problem. You've got these forms here, and this year we've deliberately made them big and bold, and they're a bit minimalistic in some ways. We could have put lots and lots more information on them. We could have put all sorts of pictures over them. But really, we've just wanted to make it really clear. And I love what Kevin said. You know, what is it? What is it that God has asked me to put my finger on? What is it that God is speaking to me about? What is God asking me to be involved in? Is God saying to me that maybe for you it's that I feel like I could be part of seeing that Derwent Valley Youth Centre go to a whole new level? Maybe God is speaking to me about that. Or maybe He's speaking to you about a church in Ethiopia or Nepal. Maybe God is speaking to you about one of those things. Or maybe He's not even speaking to you even that specifically, but He's just speaking to you that I've got to be part of this morning. I've got to be part of this today, and I've got to believe for a bigger future. Maybe God is speaking to you like that. And so we've got all those things laid out on there, and obviously a lot of you have had time to consider this, but I want to just talk to you now, and maybe the band can... actually, just hang on a minute, band. But be ready. I'll call you in a moment. But you've got a form here, and one of the things that we do with our miracle giving is we actually ask you to take a step of faith. In a moment, we're actually going to ask you, after you've had time to fill this form in, after you've had time to think about it, we're actually going to ask you to step out of your seat and choose to be part of a miracle. And that's not a look at me, look at me, look at me sort of walk. That is just something that we can say we do together, that we choose to step into and be part of a miracle. So if you look at this form, you've got the various payment options here. You saw my wallet, it had $5 in it, and a lot of your wallets will be like that. Ushers, actually, if anyone needs a pen, why don't you just give the ushers a wave, and they will be only too pleased to give you a pen. You can look at those things. So you can actually put your name and details on the first part of the form here, and then we've got giving options there. Give us your email address. That way we can actually keep you in the loop on what's actually happening. It's not just about having a contact. It's about spreading the news and letting you know what is actually happening through this miracle. And you can make a single payment today. Some of you will have prayed. Some of you will have considered it. And you're in a position where you can actually give a single payment today. So you just fill that in there. Or maybe like me, and like a lot of us here, you're going to need to be able to split that over the coming part of the year, and you might be able to put monthly payments, or you might put other, and you might like to write something in there about that, but you might be believing at some point later in the year where you're able to actually get to the point that you want to be part of this. So you can do that. And there's just little boxes there where you can tick the total amount for the 12-month period. So you can do that or press other. Now, as I've spoken to quite a few people, a lot of people I've spoken to in the lead-up to our miracle offering have said, yeah, Dave, I love it. You heard Kev say, it's my favourite Sunday of the year. And I know not everybody thinks like that, but I've spoken to a lot of people who do. And they're saying, yeah, I just want to be part of this. I just want to be part of the miracle. I'm not even that concerned at where my money individually goes, but I just want to be part of the vision. I want to be part of what we're doing. But there are others here, and God maybe is saying to you, you just feel like you want to sow into a specific area that's actually on the vision here. So there's a little box there. If you just want to specify that, maybe you're just feeling like, you know, I just want to get involved with Live Free Tassie, or I want to be part of what's happening at the youth centre in the Derwent Valley. You can just write that on there, or maybe it's church planting in Nepal or something like that. You can do that, but for a lot of us, we will just say, let's just be part of the vision and do that together. We've also got this other piece here, child sponsorship, and that's really just to help you exercise your faith. Maybe God's spoken to you about, you know, this year you can sponsor another child, or whatever it is. But just by ticking that box and making the commitment, we're not going to ring you up and say, hey, have you sponsored that child yet? We promised you, I won't do that. But what I'm doing is giving you the opportunity to actually take that step of faith and say, I'm believing for that. So as a church, it helps us know what we're praying for, what we're believing for. Isn't it great when the prayer team can actually say, did you know as a church that we're believing to sponsor another 30 children this year, and it's not happened yet, and the prayer team can be praying into that? That's absolutely brilliant. And it helps us understand what we're doing as a church, and we can celebrate together when you can write how many children you sponsor there. Obviously, the other side, you've just got your details, Visa, MasterCard, all those things, online giving, you can do it from the website, and you can fill that out today, and the direct deposit and online giving details are on there. You can make checks payable to Energize a Life Church. So if the band want to come and join me, please. But I'm really excited about what God's doing among us. And I just get a sense this year, every time we have a miracle offering, it's exciting. Every time that we are able to do something amazing together, it's exciting. And it's just an incredible thing. But this year, I just believe that God is wanting to use us. He's spoken to me really strongly. And you've heard me, you know, use the term this morning about bringing God's solutions to human problems. And I'm not just talking that as a nice catchphrase. It's something that I really, really got a conviction about, that as a church, that's what we're going to be part of. And whether that's in our finances, whether that's in our miracle offering, or whether that's just the way that you live your life. You know, when you meet a friend or family, somebody in the supermarket, where you can actually believe that you can be part of Jesus providing a God solution to a human problem. So let's approach our miracle offering this morning in that way. I'm going to ask the band just to lead us in a song. And to start with, you can stay sitting down, and you've just got the time to prayerfully consider and fill your form in. And why don't you do that? Once you've filled it in, once you've decided, why don't you then stand up? And you see on either side here, we've got these little containers here, and you're able just to bring up your giving and place in there. So if you have, just make sure on that form too, just so we can know what's going on. If you've given, you know, if you've given cash today, just tick that box so that it just helps us work out where we're up to and just all that sort of stuff. And quite honestly, the reason we've said fill the form in is it's a step of faith. It's you saying, oh, I'm going to put my name to this. I'm going to be part of something. Did you know that I told everybody that I was going to a conference this year? Everyone said, oh, Dave, are you going to the National ACC conference? Yep, I'm going. I'll be there. And I actually didn't register, and I didn't book it, and I didn't do anything about it whatsoever. And I thought, it's cool, I'll do it when I decide, and that was cool. Anyway, a week out, I thought, there's no way I can go to that conference. I am just way too busy. We've got all this stuff going on, and we've got Miracle Sunday coming up. We've got church together and all these things, which are very, very true. But the reality is, if 6 months before I'd have registered and I had have booked that, maybe it would have stressed me out being there with everything that's going on. I don't know, but I would have been there. I would have been there because I would have made a commitment. It's all very well for us to say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We're all good at that. All good at believing the things. I've been telling people for the last 5 years, yeah, I'm going to buy another road bike, a motorbike. And what have I done? I've got all excited about fitness and I've gone and bought a road push bike. Words are cheap. But when we actually put our name to something, when we decide and we make that commitment before God that I'm going to be part of something, that I'm going to be part of a world that is bigger than me, that I'm going to step out from where I am and I'm going to be part of a miracle, it makes a huge difference. I mean, if you just want to give anonymously, that's okay, but I want to encourage you to be part of a miracle and say, yep, today is the first day of a year where God uses me to bring God's solutions to human problems, and I am excited about being part of that. Thank you, band, and I'll just give you time to fill that form in. And when you've done that, you can stand up in your own time, start to worship God. Let's start to believe with faith, and we're going to start to bring our